AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move slowly towards the end of the winter break. Rangers round off their game preparations with a friendly draw against Copenhagen as Philippe Clement outlines his transfer plans. Nicholas Kuhn is now a Celtic player and says he's aiming to reach the top of domestic and European football. And Curtis Main signs for Dundee as Motherwell close in on a move for Andy Halliday. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me in the studio is Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. You've not had a winter break anyway. You've been plugging away, working hard and a big weekend in the Scottish Cup. Can you cause a shock?
Yeah, I've been grinding away, Gordon. Hopefully, as you said there, the big boys are back in town, aren't they? So, you know, straight into the Scottish Cup action and hopefully there's a few upsets with us being one of them.
St Mirren fans won't like any talk of that and we will remain balanced, I am sure. But Simon, I think we've done our time. We've been patient. We've had the break. Let's just get the top flight teams back now,
yes,
please.
Yes, we have done our time and without being disrespectful to the guy to my left, the big boys are back this weekend. The winter break is almost over. So I'm looking forward to the games. And then obviously, you know, this is where it kicks in as well with the Premier League the following week as well, the big boys. You know, this is where the business end of the season, so all to look forward to.
But it has not been quiet on here. So 0141-951-1025 is still the number you need, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. We will stoop to any depths to talk about football matches. I don't care if it was a friendly in the freezing cold in Glasgow last night. If you were there, Rangers fans, you might as well call us and tell us what you made of it. Did you learn anything? Can you learn anything? What did you learn? What did you take away? What did you make of it? Anything at all. Even if it's a call to say I learned nothing and won't go to another friendly ever again, that's fine. We are here for the lot of it. So 0141-951-1025. Were you at Ibrox last night? What did you make of it? What did you take away? What did you learn? How does it set you up going forward? We'll hear from Philippe Clement. He's speaking about his transfer plans, mostly involving Ridvan Yilmaz potentially. There's another injury, this time to Kieran Dowell as well. So any thoughts on all of those, get your calls in. And it's been the longest running transfer story of the last couple of weeks. Nicholas Kuhn, he is now a Celtic player. You just get that feeling Celtic waited until we went off air last night and then announced it about 10 o'clock I think it was. So now it's official. What do you make of it, Celtic fans? How do you look forward to him, and where is he fitting in the jigsaw? What needs to come next? What's the overall transfer picture looking like? And we'll hear from him as well. He's spoken today for the first time as a Celtic player. There are other pieces of business doing the rounds, as I said in the headlines. Curtis Main, man of quite a few clubs now in the Scottish top flight, has signed for Dundee. We await the biggest deal of the window by an absolute mile. Will be Andy Halliday to Motherwell if and when it happens. Let's get Clyde One Super Scoreboard written all over it, that move. Oh, honestly, what that move's going to do to this show, I have no idea. But anyway, I'm assuming we'll hear something about that in the not too distant future. So anything at all out there, 0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. And apologies to those who are watching on the live stream, because we appear to have left all the sign balls on the desk in front of us, which just shows how hopeless this lot are at Beat the Pundit. We usually tidy up, but the guys were being forced to sign their lives away on the sign balls. The good thing is when it zooms in on me or Marvin or Simon, you can't see them. But when it goes to that wide shot, as soon as the show started, I looked up at the monitor and thought,
something's not right.
We probably should have taken them all off the desk. But there we have it. 0141-951-1025. Give us a call. Let us know what is on your mind. I feel like the theme of the winter break shows would normally be transfers, and we've been, I think we've been starting to get a bit worried. It was looking a bit slow. We knew Nicholas Coon would happen. It hadn't when we were here last night, but like we said, that's now confirmed. Is that the floodgates opening, or do we just need to strap ourselves in for a quiet window? Is that
possibly? Possibly. I think from a Celtic point of view, obviously you watch little bits on social media, and I think the fans were quite impatient. I think they're used to, certainly in the last couple of seasons with Ange, the transfer business been done quite quickly. So I think, you know, we're on the 17th of January today, is that right? And, you know, Coon has got over the line. So I think the fans will be happy with that. I won't lie to you, I don't know much about the lad. I've looked at his, you know, coming in from Rapid Vienna. It's a position in the team where, you know, Celtic have got a lot of wide players there, which might signal, you know, one or two maybe moving out. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, that might open the floodgates. Time will tell. We've got, what, 2 weeks left?
We will see. We will see. 01419511025. If you want to talk transfers, the business your team's done so far, the business you hope they will do, whether that's just general looking at positions you want filled, maybe it's something specific, you've got a player in mind. It's a blank canvas during the winter break. This was the week that we had.
I thought you might have gave us the quiz. I listened to the quiz last week.
Did you like that?
Bro, I thought me and you would have had. Did you listen to it? No.
Thanks, Marvin. Thanks for listening.
I don't know what you're on about. So.
Gordon really good. DL versus Mark Wilson.
I thought it was really good last Thursday. I think you should, long maybe quiz. You should do that once a week.
We used to do it a lot during lockdown and so on. We've done it sporadically since.
Different
and
in music rounds and different
all sorts.
I'll seemed a lot of fun.
There was like a phone a friend, and the friend was Roger Hannah. Roger Hannah. Was everything. Yeah. There was like an ask the audience. It was.
It was quite good.
They didn't let us down. They were quite entertaining, and we're actually going to do it again tomorrow, because after a steward's inquiry, we realised that they drew last week.
So we've got to go for it again.
I'm going to settle it tomorrow, hopefully. 0141951.
Tune in, Marv.
I will do.
1025. That's the number you need. Right, Rangers fans, what about last night? I know lots of you went, braved the cold. I know lots of you would have watched it on various devices. So what did you make of it? Can you take anything away from a friendly? What did you learn? What was your feeling after it? Were you encouraged by what you saw? Were you not so encouraged by what you saw? Were you somewhere in between? Do let us know on 01419511025 right now, if you can. Just to set the tone for you, and whilst you get your calls in, let's hear from Philippe Clement. He was talking about his transfers, says he's still keen to make a few more signings this window. He says everyone at the club is working hard to make it happen.
Yes, everybody's aligned about that, we need a few more in certain positions, and everybody in the club who is involved in that is working day and night about that, I know. We're a lot in contact. It's been really busy with those things, but until a signature is set, until that is not done, it's not done. So I'm waiting and I'm focused on the players who are here. Besides all the talks that we have with other players and looking at other players. So that's my job to do in January. That's why for every manager, when it's the 1st of February, we are always very happy that this hectic period can stop.
I feel like that's part of the way of things in a January break friendly, where Philippe Clement wants to learn some things about his team, but lots of other people are waiting for full time so they can get the chance to speak to him, so they can find out what's happening. And everything comes back to transfers at this time, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's massive. You know, like you said, not only the fans want transfers, but so do managers, especially when you're kind of new into the job and, you know, it's your first window to go and really implement, you know, the players that you want and your style. You know, also on the players with the winter break that just came up. I just wonder if Celtic and Rangers, in terms of the numbers that they have of players in the building, whether it's, you know, wanting players out before they get them in. I think there has to be a balancing act. And I know fans always like more players, more players, more players. But from a manager's point of view, you know, Gordon, when you go above kind of 20 outfield players, training becomes a nightmare. And you've got boys sitting to the side and all sorts. And you don't want that because, you know, it creates a real bad atmosphere for the ones who aren't, you know, maybe involved. So I think they have to be probably a little bit patient with it. I think we've seen that across at Celtic, and I think Rangers will be the same. I think they want players out as well as two or three more in.
A very frustrating time then, isn't it? Because you understand the need to be patient. Who wants to be patient? Who's got time to be patient in Scottish football?
Yeah, Marv's the voice of reason there. He's obviously still in the game. We're just wanting players.
Just more.
You're there and everywhere. To excite the fans. But yeah, no, listen, Marv's absolutely right. You know, I can remember back to my coaching days myself. Numbers is crucial when you're trying to put on sessions. And as you quite rightly said there as well, you know, you don't want an environment created in your dressing room where there is maybe five, six players that aren't, you know, in the picture, and for whatever reason, creating, you know, chaos. So it's a balancing act, this transfer window. But you're always going to get the fans. You're always going to get the supporters wanting new faces every window, and that's part and parcel of it.
Yeah, what do you make of that, Rangers fans, those comments as well? Are you still confident you'll do the business you need to? Or are you starting to get a bit worried about it? Do let us know on 01419511025. Like we said, we'll take your game-specific thoughts on Copenhagen last night as well. Jeff's on the line. Jeff, do you take much away from friendlies? Did you learn anything?
I used to go to friendlies in my younger days, and I was I can be quite impressed. But with this season, I think the friendlies have been a wee bit sort of dodgy, because if you get an injury, you scupper the team for the rest of the season, or depending on how bad the injury is. I was quite impressed with the goals last night. I still think we need another striker, just to fill it in.
Well, that's an interesting point, I think, because look, we joked last night. There was a guy came on. He said that not only would a hat trick for Cyril Dessers last night not do anything for this guy's opinion, even if he scored a hat trick against Celtic, it wouldn't change his mind. Which Hugh Keevans was not buying that.
No,
he did score last night. Mm-hmm. Again, Marvin, you're just, you know, you're in the game, albeit at different circumstances. Can you take anything? Can it be a springboard for people? Can you learn something that you want to take in? Or is it just that lack of competitive nature makes that really difficult?
No, you can definitely learn from it, you know, especially from a manager's point of view, because there could have been things that Rangers have been working on, you know, during that winter break, and, you know, Dessers might have trained really well, and that's kind of the icing on the cake. He comes on and, you know, he scores in the friendly. So the manager might look at him in a different light now. He's going to get opportunities, there's no doubt about it. I know Rangers fans have been chasing an extra striker. I know they've brought in Silva, and I've said already that, you know, I expect him to take that number nine jersey and be backed up by the rest.
See, on that though, this isn't, because Andrew McLean was there for this show last night.
Yeah.
I was speaking to him, speaking to a few people who've been there, taking a look at social media. Although you need to be patient, if there's a snap judgment to be had on Fabio Silva, it's possibly that he doesn't look like an out and out number nine, and it looks more like he's more comfortable sort of dropping in and playing a bit deeper and linking things up. Does that suggest, you know, Rangers still definitely need to go and do more in the proper top end?
It's just the style that he plays at, Gordon, like you just said there. He likes to drop in and get on the ball, but we saw Firmino do it at Liverpool and be ever so successful. You know, it's about the pace you have either side of it when he is doing that, or your number 10 running forward. Not all number 9s are out and out strikers.
But, well, in terms of the volume then, though, the guy you mentioned, and I know we're talking about a different level here, but his pals scored a lot to allow him to sort of drop in there, didn't he?
No, definitely. But yeah, that's going to be the thing. It's going to take goals. He's not going to come and get you, you know, 25, 30 goals in a season. I know he's only got half a season, but he's not going to hit those sorts of numbers. But people around him, you know, he's going to create space for them, and then they're going to have to take the opportunities. So listen, I can't see them bringing in another striker, whether you think Silva's an out and out striker or not.
I mean, Jeffrey did say it can be risky of injuries. I suppose that can happen anywhere. But there was another one, Kieran Dowell, from the friendly at the weekend. He's now out for a couple of months. How frustrating is that to hear?
Sorry, you talking to me?
Yes, sorry, Jeffrey.
Oh, sorry. see, that's the thing with friendlies. I mean, I haven't seen much of Kieran Dowell in the team this season so far. So it's very hard to make a comparison.
Yeah.
That's the trouble.
Well, that's it. That's partly why we've made, you know, there's been injuries, Marvin.
Yeah.
And I think obviously people can get injured. You know, you can get unfortunate.
I was just about to say, like,
but at the same time though, if your Rangers fans are tearing their hair out because it's always somebody. Every week it's somebody new. This
it
time,
could be a training session though, Gordon, as you say there. It could be absolutely. It could be anything, and the manager might argue that, you know, it's more, well, it is, it's a game situation last night.
This was before, sorry, this was the weekend. So the pitch, I think the pitch wasn't great in Lomanga. So again, it's that frustrating as well, because you've, you know, it's by design, you're sort of there hoping that stuff like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more frustrating when, like you said, it's down to kind of the pitch, which you expect when you do go abroad to be, you know, perfect condition, exactly what they have at their training ground. So that will be frustrating for sure. But like Simon said, sometimes these things are unavoidable. I know that one, like we're saying, is the pitch and, you know, people playing in friendlies or training, etc. It's going to happen. It's part and parcel. It just seems it doesn't rain, it pours. You know, when you do get a couple of injuries, it just, you know, continues for, you know, an awful long time and you miss important players. But listen, it's up to somebody else to step in. I know they've lost another body, they've got another body down, but it's part and parcel of the game.
Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement. If there was one name on the team sheet last night that people were paying a bit of attention to before the game, it would be Ridvan Yilmaz, because every day it feels like there's more speculation about him leaving. But not only was he there last night, he started the game, and the manager says he'll only be able to leave for the right price, and obviously it's vital they have a replacement lined up.
For every player at Rangers, if there comes an offer that is not to be refused, or it's a good thing for the club that moment, then we need to discuss it. For the moment, it's not the case, so Ridvan is here and he's started the game also. We will see what's going to happen. It's also, players need to show that they really want to be here next couple of months. So we need to be prepared for everything, for every position also. If something happens, that we have solutions. So that is one position that we have two players. One is end of contract. And another one, there's a lot of rumors around. So it's clear that we need to be ready for that position to have solutions. We cannot go on in three competitions with one left fullback, that's clear, for example. And in other positions, it's the same.
What do you think on that one, Rangers fans? Would you be tempted to try and sell Ridvan Yilmaz and get someone else in, or keep him, or how would you arrange that area of the pitch? Thank you to Jeff. Let's bring in Willie, who's a Rangers fan. Did you learn anything last night, Willie? Take anything away from it?
Aye, we still can't defend corners.
I knew someone would say that. I saw a lot of tweets about this. It was two fairly similar goals conceded, wasn't it?
Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're a good team. They're a Champions League team. They're in Man City's group, blah, blah, blah. I felt sorry for Big McCrory and Shooter because they just come on. And then, lo and behold, you lose 3-1 goal. But from their point of view, they were two brilliant leaders. Don't get me wrong. But even last night, I didn't think Butland brilliant last night. He had two or three saves, but he didn't really look that confident either.
Well, people are getting grumpy in the winter break if they're criticising Jack Butland by the looks of it. Again, is this where the balance between how much attention you pay to the friendlies does come into it? Because
Willie said himself,
Conor Goldson's not in the pitch at this point. Yeah, Jack Butland's not in the pitch at this point.
He's mentioned about the two boys coming on, you know, and then Copenhagen get the goals from the corners. That these things can happen in friendlies when there's a lot of change. I think going back to, I think the first caller, Jeff, you know, talking about friendlies, I think it's obviously an exercise that Clement, you know, thought was worthwhile. They've went away to Spain for a number of days and came back to play this game in preparation for the Scottish Cup at the weekend. Whether he's learned a lot out of it, only he will know. But I don't think the likes of Willie should be losing too much sleep over, you know, two corners where the centre backs have been changed, and you know that, well, he's mentioned their goalie there, but arguably he's been their best player this season, or one of the top performers.
At the same time, though, I can get where Willie's coming from. You know, it's if it's set pieces, maybe that's one thing you would imagine teams would be looking to try and fine tune during the winter break, that sort of thing. So you can kind of see both sides of it, can't you?
Yeah, I actually disagree with it, Gordon, in terms of what you're saying about trying to fine tune it during the winter break, because I think, you know, their set will slightly change depending on who they're playing. I think that's one of the things they would have probably missed out. I think they'd have worked on everything else. I think, listen, it would have been minimal stuff, I think, on set plays. They go to Dumbarton, I think it is, at the weekend in the Scottish Cup, and, you know, they'll put a bit more into it this week. And then, you know, when they go back to league action, it obviously will ramp up again. But I think your time is better spent you know, especially, you know, during that winter break, is working on things that he wants to see on the pitch. And listen, set plays are set plays. You start to make changes, you know, people lose their markers or things are set up slightly differently. Also, he wouldn't want to give too much away. He wouldn't want other teams watching him say, well, that's how Rangers are now setting up for set plays. So, you know, it's one of those things. Yes, they've lost two goals, but I wouldn't lose, as Simon said, too much sleep over it.
Willie, you're worrying too much.
No, it's not that. It's just, it's other than else. You know, you're looking for a wee bird. See, I tried to get on Saturday, right? I watched the game on Saturday, and I thought, I mean, I don't really want to say it on live radio, but they were piss poor. They were really, really bad.
I think we've lost Willie, have we? I think he's, I don't know if he's gone. It's not ideal.
Willie said
he made his point about what he thought.
It's not ideal. Sorry for Willie's language if anyone did hear it. I don't think that's a 6 month banning offence. I feel like it's a second yellow.
Yeah,
it's like, look, just go and take your 10 minutes and
maybe the new sin bin thing.
I don't want to see it,
but I'm going to.
Just go back to the dressing room and just collect your thoughts and just don't do it again.
But in terms of what he's saying about the performance, it's a friendly. Listen,
it's two friendlies, Marvin.
I know, but say the one at the weekend, for example. You know, sometimes teams train before friendlies. By the way,
yeah.
You know, it's just.
I think that was a message that Philippe Clement was trying to get across, that these both came at the end of really heavy camp.
Yeah,
it's not read nothing.
I think the problem. Well, there's always an intensity there with the likes of Celtic and Rangers, regardless of the game. But nowadays, in the current climate, it's on for people to watch.
Yeah.
Whereas
that's,
you know, I played in a lot of friendlies back in the day. As you say, you're coming off a hard bit of training, and I wouldn't want to see them again. So it's one of these ones where, unfortunately, as I say, in the current climate, you've got Rangers fans sitting watching that game on the telly, and, you know, I'm best pleased, but it's a training exercise. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Anyway, 01419511025. If you are want to look back on that friendly last night, talk transfers, we're going to hear from Nicholas Coon for the first time as a Celtic player. Celtic fans, what are you thinking of your business so far? Get in touch and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025, or you can tweet at ClydeSSB. Lorraine is on the line from Kilmarnock. How's it going, Lorraine?
Hi, not bad, thanks.
What's on your mind tonight?
So just kind of following up, I think the guy that was on previous was called Wally.
He was. He didn't last very long.
I think his eyes must have got frozen shut last night, because he's obviously came on moaning about how we conceded two goals, but like I was saying to the producer there, our back five when we conceded the goals are probably a back five that we'll never see in a competitive game. You know, it was like, who was there? It was John Souter, Borna, Ibeko and Leon King. Plus we had Mitoria in goals, you know. So, and the second goal was an own goal as well. So it wasn't, we didn't concede two like from them, you know, and it wasn't two good goals, because obviously we conceded, you know, like we scored an own goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it just kind of stresses me out. I kind of took from it that, like, you know, it's like, see, last night by the time I got home and looked at like social media and stuff, my head was exploding with the amount of people that were going on about the how, like, oh, we've conceded two goals, we've conceded two for corners, the same goals. But yet, do you know what? Look at the first half. That was probably more likely, like the starting 11 that we were going to go with. And I thought in the first half, the guys played really well, defended well, and ultimately we went in 1-0 up to a team that's, you know, through the next stages in the Champions League, that finished second in the Champions League group. So I just sometimes, like, Rangers fans stress me out with we choose to see the negative all the time instead of looking at the positive.
I totally get both sides. Simon probably hit the nail on the head. You're just going to, like, starve the football. Mm-hmm. And now not only, you know, do you see it if you go along to the game, but it's streamed and people see it. And it's there, it's in front of your eyes, you're going to comment on it. But at the same time, Lorraine's probably right, and that's what we said when the team lines came out last night. It looked as if that's Philippe Clement's plan going forward. He doesn't have Seam at the moment, so you know, that's where Matondo, he's obviously looking to use, you know, Fabio Silva. It kind of looked like the first half was him trying to lay the foundations for what's to come, albeit Dumbarton's a slightly different challenge, but generally speaking,
going forward, like you said, Gordon, you know, that first half team would have been the one that probably worked on an awful lot. You know, he's trying to play to their strengths, and they play the first half, and as Lorraine said there, you know, they make changes in the second half and concede two goals, one being an own goal. And that's what, even without, you know, kind of seeing the goal, what Lorraine said there, when you change that many people, you know, it becomes extremely difficult. And that's why he won't be worried about that at all. You know, it's part and parcel of the game. You know, they're young players, some of them, just to learn from it and make sure you stay close to your men, et cetera, et cetera. But that first half, you know, that would be the team that, you know, expect to see in the next few games coming. Like you said, Dumbarton game takes care of itself, but moving forward in the league.
Lorraine, what did you take away in a more positive sense then? You mentioned kind of generally the performance in the first half. Was there anyone in particular that impressed you?
Well, see, to be fair, I'm going to probably like stick in a lot of people's throat here, right? Because I totally love Dessers. I love that guy, and I hate the bad press that he gets all the time. And you know, I felt for him last night, because a wee bit like when he kind of came on just in the second half, I don't even know, like a ball got played through or something, and he missed it, and he just instantly his head dropped, and that makes me sad, because he's a Rangers player. I don't want to see that. But then on top of that, he scores a goal, which is a decent goal. He nearly scored a second, which, you know, all the Boo boys will complain about that he didn't. And then there was a couple of good link-up plays and a couple of good passes that he made. So from that, I think it's maybe a wee bit of confidence boost. I think, was it Marvin that said earlier on that maybe he's had a good, you know, like last week, whatever, in Spain, and then he's coming on, and that's just like the kind of the icing on the cake type of thing, we're getting a goal. So I thought that was really good. Obviously, guys like Jack and Raskin and stuff getting minutes in their legs, I think that's massive. Tom Lawrence as well, and obviously seeing the new guy Silva, I think he looked really good last night. Him and Cantwell kind of seem as if they're on the same type of level. So I think there was loads and loads of positives that can be taken from it, and I think people should maybe look at that instead of just whinging all the time.
I'll tell you what, Lorraine, if I ever need somebody to stick up for me, I'm going to get yours, because I understand if people don't want to criticise Cyril Dessers and think it's over the top, but I've yet to come across a Rangers fan that loves the guy. And that's that. Lorraine's very much given her backing, which is absolutely fine. It might be that, Marvin, that we did say it previously, you know, the goal against Betis, it was a really good goal. It was a really important one. So naturally you think, is that the turning point? And if that isn't the turning point, it would seem less likely that a goal in a friendly would be. However, you just never know. Football works in mysterious ways.
Exactly. Sometimes it just takes a spark, Gordon. And like we said, maybe being away and, you know, kind of living in the pockets of your teammates and kind of earning your stripes, as you say, you know, on the training park. And as we said already, you know, scoring that goal, maybe that's the extra confidence boost that he needs there, like Lorraine said. And I've said this before, you know, obviously it's different for you two guys growing up in Scotland. You know, when I came here, I did not realise the pressure that's put on Rangers and Celtic players. And I mean, you know, being down the road and seeing, you know, Manchester City playing Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, it's nothing like they get up here. And Lorraine said it there, you know, Dessers misses an opportunity and instantly his head goes down. You know, he's someone else that's not from Scotland and just came into the game now. He would have never realised it. You know, and it's one of those things that you're going to have to be headstrong. You not only have to be good at football to play for the big two clubs up here, you have to be headstrong. And hopefully, you know, that goal kicks on for him and his confidence begins to grow on the back of it.
What else are you hoping for? We've got, what are we, 13, 14 days left, Lorraine. We heard from Philippe Clement there. He's seen, you know, trying to get things done. It's not easy. What are you hoping for during the window?
See, to be honest, it's one of the ones. Obviously, I think based on last night especially, obviously Clement's kind of said in the past that he's always looking to have like a starting 11 and then players that can come in and just, you know, it's like seamless so that you don't notice it. So like last night, for instance, you noticed the complete difference. And obviously, I think last night showed that we don't have that. So I think there's a lot of positions that need covered, but I guess the January window, you're probably limited. So, I mean, obviously the whole striker situation, because as it stands just now, we've got Dessers. So he gets injured and, you know, we're kind of stuck. And obviously the chat with Yilmaz as well. So I feel like maybe a left back and maybe a striker.
How do you feel about Yilmaz? Are you keen to keep him around, or do you think if there is a deal to be done and you get a replacement, that's the way to go?
I don't know. I'm stuck with him because for ages he never really done very much. And I think, I mean, sometimes when you see him on the pitch, he looks like one of the ball boys. He's tiny. And I think he doesn't really have the stature either to compensate for being so small. However, when he played against Kelly, the ball just seemed to stick to his feet and he was outstanding. So, I don't know. I mean, he's maybe just making me eat my words by kind of being like that. But at the same time, if you get a decent enough offer into it, you need to take it.
Fair point. Thank you very much to Lorraine on the line on 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Richard says, the big thing I learned from the game last night was that My days of sitting in freezing cold weather conditions with moaning wanes that the football is over.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to make terrible allegations about how he will plan to watch these games in the future the way that Gordon DL does on his fancy television. couldn't go down that road. But yeah, then maybe that's it. I have to admit, last night we thought we'd launch like a social experiment. It wasn't always about the football. It was, are you going to this friendly? Why are you going? You know, what makes you go?
Yeah.
And then we realised it was an 8 o'clock kickoff as well. So yep. To the, what was it, 10,000? I can't remember the attendance, but for those who went, well done to you, yeah, because it freezing. Was freezing
yeah.
last night. So there we are. Right, Celtic fans, maybe a good time for you to get in touch. Let us know what your hopes are. You do have that Nicholas Kuhn one in the building. That is confirmed. It rumbled on for a few days. He is here, he's a Celtic player, he's done the whole scarf above the head, etc. It couldn't be more official. So what are your initial feelings there, and what else are you hoping for? Let's actually hear from him, shall we? Like we said, I think it was this afternoon, so you might not even have had the chance to hear this. He is aiming to reach the top of domestic and European football whilst he's at Celtic, claiming he's taking a big step forward with this move.
It was for me, it was clear at the moment Celtic called and showed interest that I want to come here. Yeah, there were some interest from other clubs, but the moment I received the message, I didn't really thought about going somewhere else. I thought that I want to play Champions League and go to the A national team. Now I made a big step to a big club. So of course in the future I want to play for a national team as well. That was also a point where I came here. Because the opportunity is really nice. I mean, if you see the stadium and everything, and the fans, it's unbelievable.
Simon, what have you made of that one? Like we said, it was bubbling away for a while, so we've had the chance to, think about where he fits and what he might offer.
Yeah, well, it's the first new face in. As I say, I've not seen anything of the guy, to be honest. Coming in from Rapid Vienna. Bayern Munich, you know, he's came through the ranks there. It'll be interesting to see. I've wrote down there Abada, Johnston, Tilio, Forrest, Maeda, Palma, Yang. If I've missed anybody out there that play in that area.
Yeah, I think there's eight. I think he's the eighth.
Okay, so I've not missed anybody out there, which is good. He's going to have to come in and perform, because, you know, Palma's more or less, I would say, nailed down one of the positions in the team at the moment. Maeda is obviously away. You know, it's an opportunity for him to come in and show what he's got. Time will tell whether he's going to go straight in. He's 24, so he's of an age where he should be. He should be fighting to get into that starting 11. So it'll be interesting to see. It's an opportunity for him. He said there himself, he's got big ambitions to get into that German national team, and he feels this is a good move for him. So I think, you know, from a Celtic supporters' point of view, I think they'll be excited. That's the first new face in. They'll be wanting a few more. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops.
Just to take your words there, Gordon, I wonder if that's the reason it's been bubbling away for so long, because of the amount of wings they do have. And I wonder if Brendan wanted to move one or two out. We were speaking about numbers earlier. And yep. It's got to the point now where he's like, you know what, let's just bring him in. Because, you know, if I'm the manager, and I'm not saying this has happened, but and you two are wingers, I'm saying, Simon and Gordon, you know, your game time is going to be limited, but you're going to see nobody else come in. Maybe you're going to sit there for even longer. I think it's got to a point now where Celtic are like, no, let's do it. We don't want to have eight wingers on our books at this moment in time, but
to force other players?
Yeah, right, to let them know that someone is coming in. Yeah. It's not just people going out the door. And as you said, you know, he's came in at 24 years of age. They've paid money for him. He's going in to start.
He has to start.
Yeah, he's there to start. So that means people can get pushed down a pecking order.
Yeah, maybe.
Moving people out is tough, isn't it? Like, we've seen that in the past. Like, Celtic have managed a couple, but ones that were even further away than the guys we mentioned. You know, like Kwon was just not barely featuring in matchday squads. Yeah. Adam Montgomery barely counts because he was out on loan already in the first half of the season.
Yeah. Marv makes a good point. It might be that
one of those
thought process. You know, this guy's coming in. He's coming in to start.
Who's the most likely
out of that?
Is it Mikey Johnson? Is it Marco Tilio?
Yeah, it might be. It might
he's
be.
I mean,
like Sir Johnston's obviously featured of late, but I wouldn't say his first pick by far. Tellio has not. He's not played at all, really. Abada's just back, so
it's hard leaving Celtic, though, isn't it? You know, when you're talking about people leaving clubs, and you know, it's hard to get people out. you don't want to leave Celtic, do you? Because it's only downhill from there. If you stay in Scotland,
you don't, Marv, but you want to play.
Yeah,
I would argue as well. Yeah. You know, you would want to play. I wouldn't want to be sitting.
Would you on a fifth of the money? That's the reality.
I just think getting the chance to play at Celtic,
don't get me wrong, I know what it's all different.
You want to play. I mean, Celtic, fantastic club. I can speak from experience, but you want to play football, and I think that might be one of the things there where they've got this guy in, and it might, you know, force the issue with lads that are there that maybe think, you know, that position wasn't really going to be something that would refresh. Maybe looking elsewhere, a striker or whatever. So this guy's come in, it might force the issue with one or two there.
There you are, Celtic fans. It is now confirmed since we spoke to you on last night's show. So what do you make of that? What do you think should be next? What are your priorities now? Let us know. And whilst you get your calls in, let me run this past you. Clyde One. 5 seconds of silence on Make Me a Winner means that we have to hang up the phone, and that's what happened. We've had a few calamities on Make Me a Winner. I don't think we've had too many of those.
So five,
just silence.
What, and then said it?
No,
just 5 seconds.
Just 5 seconds. That's you. Your time's up.
Hung up.
And wow. Away it goes. So, like, there are a few things. You need to enter. You need to answer the phone straight away. You need to see Make Me a Winner.
Speak
straight away. Yeah, speaking's important. Oh, come on. Right. £75,000 tomorrow. Don't sit in silence and miss out on £75,000. You do need to be in that draw though. So text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the entries since Peter won on Friday have rolled over. All the rules for this network competition are online. And here's the important bit. If you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within 5 rings and say Make Me a Winner straight away. We can't give you all day long to do it. The 75 grand would be yours. Text yes to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are in the building waiting for you to get in touch on that usual number. If you can't remember it, 01419511025. You can talk transfer business, which is a very vague, wide open topic. So whatever your opinion is there, get it over to us. If you were at Ibrox last night and you want to discuss your thoughts on that friendly, you can. I mean, it's Wednesday, it's quite early, but we could look forward to the Scottish Cup, of course. Marvin Bartley hoping to cause a shock against St Mirren. There are a few other good games there as well. And in fact, we'll hear from the Dumbarton camp later on as they prepare to take on Rangers. But before all of that, Mark is a Celtic fan on the line. How's it going, Mark?
Hi, guys. Good evening. Listen, thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure. What have you got for us?
A couple of things, really. See, there's a lot of talk recently about Lauren Shankland. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to try and maybe, if I could interject a bit of realism into it. Lauren Shankland's 28 years old, and this is a purple patch he's in as a striker for probably the first time in his career. I think he had a good spell at Dundee United in the Championship, but I do not see him as materially improving either Celtic or Rangers. I just don't think he's at a level that he could make a difference, particularly in Europe or at the top end of the Premier League. I've seen him live a few times recently, and what I'd say about him, and I don't know if Simon and Marvin will disagree with me here or tell me shut up, but I think he's about half a stone overweight. I don't think he's particularly mobile. I think he links up the play really well, and he's got a really good first touch and a decent shot, but he's not that tall. He's not that good in the air. He can't really run. He can finish, I'll give him that. But if you look at him at 28... and you compare him to somebody like Lee Griffiths, for all his problems, there's no comparison in terms of goal return, his ability in Europe and the type of games that he's made a big impact in. I'd actually probably compare him to Kevin Nisbet, and I think Kevin Nisbet's probably a better player, and I don't think he's done particularly much down south. I suppose the point being, if he was any good, somebody at the lower end of the English Championship would have taken a punt on him. I think he's valued at less than $2 million on Transfermarkt. So I don't really see what the big fuss is about. I think, you know, a lot of fans have got themselves in a lather about how good he is. And I suppose the litmus test for me is Steve Clarke probably rates him as fourth choice, if that. So I personally don't see what the big deal is about Lauren Shankland. I think he should absolutely capitalise this on this and rinse Hearts for as much as he can, or get a move that will set him up.
Not being a bit harsh, I mean, it's 19 goals in 30 games this season, including 3 in Europe, 1 for his national team, goal at Celtic Park, of course, you know, doing it pretty much everywhere. And as far as purple patches go, it was then 28 goals last season. No, is that not all a bit harsh?
I don't think so. I think you have to take a bit of a longer term view. I mean, this is, you're talking about when he's 27, 28. I don't think that really addresses the point. You've got to look at who he scored the goals against and where the majority of the goals
come from. Well, I just said, three of them came in Europe. He didn't play that often in Europe. He scored a goal for Scotland this season. He scored a goal for Celtic, who are obviously, and I'm sure you would agree, certainly as things stand, the best team in the country. He's kind of scores against everyone, really.
Okay, one goal against Celtic, 3 goals again in Europe, but you've got to look at the quality of opposition he's scoring against. Listen, I'm not saying he's a bad player.
Yeah, but here's the crazy thing, Mark. If he was to sign for Celtic or Rangers, that would be the teams he would be playing against. So that would be the thought. I don't think anyone's suggesting that he's going to come in, catapult Rangers or Celtic to Champions League glory. I think people are saying, would he be better than Cyril Dessers? Would he be better than O? I think that's the conversation, isn't it? If you've come in with this sort of unrealistic bar and then saying that he's not at that, then fine, but I don't think anyone's suggesting that he is.
Okay. But you've got to, I suppose, think about, if you're Celtic or Rangers, what's the point in signing him?
Is he better than Cyril Dessers? That's the point.
Well, I can't speak to that because I haven't seen enough of Dessers play. I don't know. But the point is, does he materially improve your team in line with your team's aspirations about where they want to be? And if you're Celtic or Rangers, I think the answer to that's probably no. I think he would do fine domestically for you. I don't think he really elevates you. And also, I suppose, there's another point, would he fit into the style of play? I think he's too slow to play for Celtic. I don't think he would be able to run at a pace to get into positions that Celtic's wingers would put him into. So that's the point I wanted to make about Shankland. The other point was more of a...
Well, let's do that. Let's put it to the guys, because I've butted in a couple of times. I think there's obviously... they can have their opinion. Yeah. I'm not sure Lauren Shankland would consider blistering pace as part of his game. I'm not sure he'd be the first to sort of... but Mark's not having him at all.
No, I think he's a very good finisher, and I think he's probably... Mark describes it as a purple patch. He's probably... let's say hitting his best form, I think, as a player. There's a maturity there. I've seen him in the European games, and I think he's brought something else to his game in terms of link-up play as well. I think he's quite clever. You know, from what I've seen this season, again, I would agree with Mark, not blistering pace, but, you know, it's hard to speculate what he would bring to a Rangers or a Celtic. You know, he's
surely goals, though, would be the obvious answer. I couldn't possibly guarantee that.
I think he would, and I think there's been, you know, in recent times, you know, not look down your nose, but we need to look elsewhere, you know, rather than at home. Sometimes I've just wrote down, and I'm not comparing them to these players at all, but just similar kind of move, Scott McDonald from Motherwell to Celtic, going back a wee bit, Billy Dodds going into Rangers. They both scored a lot of goals, you know, coming from within our own Premier League. So it's been done before. There'll be numerous other ones out there as well. It'd be good examples. I said last week on the show that I thought the likes of Shankland going to Rangers, I think he would bring something. I think he would improve what they've got there. Celtic, I'm not so sure. You know, they've got Kyogo there. Again, they have to look for backup, I suppose, as well, because as much as he's still a young boy, you know, I don't think he's nailed down, you know, that automatic replacement for Kyogo just yet.
But would you play Shankland ahead of O if he was at Celtic now in the pecking order? Or better question, do you think O could do what Shankland's done at Hearts this season if he was playing there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know.
Are you asking because you don't think so? You don't think if O plays for Hearts right now, you don't think he's got the...
No. Doesn't do what Shankland's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if he goes into either of those two clubs, is he going to be the starting number 9? Maybe not. But he is better than the number 2s at both of those clubs right now. And as you said, domestically, he'll score goals. That's it, you know. So
I think that's where Mark's been particularly harsh, because those are the teams he would have to play. And Mark said, one goal against Celtic.
He scored a hat-trick
against Celtic last season.
Yeah. I think in fairness to Mark, and I think a lot of fans, they think about the bigger, is it going to bring something to Europe? At the moment, Rangers and Celtic are in a race for the domestic title. And that guy to reiterate what Marvin said, would probably bring goals to both sides in the domestic setup to go and win that title, or to, you know, help to win that title. Mark. So it's not a case of bringing Lauren Shankland into a Celtic or Rangers to, you know, catapult them into the Champions League.
Mark, I know you had a second point. We're running pretty late, but if you can make it snappy and we'll get it out there and give you your say.
Thanks. But it was just really, Peter Lowell said maybe 7 or 8 years ago, Celtic have got a standalone strategy, right? They don't coexist or are not codependent with on Rangers. I think if you look at the last 10 years, Celtic's strategy has been plainly to keep 5 paces ahead of Rangers. See the signing strategy. We've managed somehow to persuade Brendan Rodgers to come back, but this whole, you know, chucking off mud against a wall and see what sticks in terms of signing young players. I mean, look at Matt O'Reilly. He's been a massive success, so has Abada. But you look at the players they've signed over the piece, not a lot of them have generated the type of returns Celtic would want. So I suppose it leads me to the question of, what does Celtic want to be? Do they just want to be a few steps ahead of Rangers, or do they actually want to try and grow the club? I think they were on a decent path under Postecoglou, but I don't see a strategy in the signings we're making that really would lead to success on a European level. And I think Celtic, this is no disrespect to Scottish football, they need to look more broadly than just the domestic game. And I suppose that goes back to the chat, the discussion about Shankland of, yeah, he might improve a lot of teams domestically, but is he going to kick you on? So I don't see where Celtic are going as a strategy. The signing of this Austrian winger, Kuhn, is a good example. Simon round off 7 or 8 wingers Celtic have got. What is the point of signing this boy? I mean, he might be great, but is he going to improve you, number one? And what does that say about the strategy in signing, you know, Yang and his predecessors? I've actually forgotten half the names of them. But you see what I mean? They're not really generating success with their signings. And it's just really, where are we going? I mean, we signed 2 centre-backs in the summer that don't seem to cut it. You know, Bernabei hasn't been a good choice at left-back. So I don't really know where Celtic want to be. And I think as a supporter, it's hard to see the vision.
Mark, I'm going to have to nip it there just purely for time. We're way running over, but you've covered a lot of interesting ground that I'm sure some of your fellow Celtic fans would either want to agree or disagree with. But in the meantime, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. You just can't escape this stuff, Simon Donnelly. You had an ugly win.
I thought you were going to talk about it.
You had an ugly win against someone from the same village as you last week. Then you're out.
You say an ugly win, but
you're out walking this morning.
I know, it's incredible.
You're so approached.
I came across the guy's brother. He came up and, well, I actually know him. He was the BB captain when my kids were going through the BB.
There
so I said hello, and then he says, "Oh, I heard you on Radio Clyde, you were playing my brother at Beat the Pundit last week." I says, "We were almost as bad as each other. I just pipped him."
Let's hope for a better result tonight. A high scoring affair if we can. 01419511025, and the lines close at the end of the news. So be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025, and you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. Nothing out of the ordinary. We've been discussing the transfer window. In fact, just before the break, quite a strongly opinionated call about Lauren Shankland you may want to agree or disagree with. We're looking back if you so wish. I know it was just a friendly, but come on, we're starved of football here. So we're looking back at Ibrox last night. We heard from Nicholas Kuhn, we heard from Philippe Clement, and there's plenty more to come. So if you want to get involved, please do right now on the phones whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly won 2-1 last week. It was awful. It was truly awful. Now people have been approaching him whilst he's out walking.
What are you laughing at?
The dog. It makes me so nervous. I don't want to play this game at all.
It's just the quietest he becomes in Beat the Pundit.
When was the last time you played?
Honestly, I can't remember.
Yeah, he's due.
It's been a while.
He's due one.
I think you're right.
He's due one.
No, don't give me that nod, because I... Yeah, exactly. Don't make me stand up again like I used to have to do in the old studio.
Staring into space.
Yeah, I think he's getting a bit nervous.
Nervous.
I don't like it.
John's in Toll Cross. How's it going, John?
Hi, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Evening panel.
Not bad at all. Have you ever played before, John?
No, I've not, no.
Right. Who's considered weaker out of these two?
Oh, that's a silly one.
You can't choose because they're both as bad as each other.
I don't like it. John sounds confident.
I think John will be all
right. Yeah, like he's full of energy and he's confident and he's been gearing up for this all day.
Wait till the pressure's on.
And the questions are a bit adventurous tonight anyway. Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly.
Just be honest with who it is, please.
What do you mean?
Because
I have genuinely, I always go with the coin. This is,
yeah.
You just come on here and spread lies.
Okay.
Right, you ready?
What am I?
Your tails.
He's
like
tails.
Okay.
Your tails. I'm heads.
How good was that toss?
It was good.
Hey again.
Come on, John. I hope you lose sight.
Devastated. Right, what we do here is give Simon some greatest hits radio in his lugs so that he can't hear what's going on. John, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Top man, John, your 30 seconds is on the clock and your time starts now. Name any of the scorers in Rangers' friendly against Copenhagen last night.
Matondo.
Which Scottish League 2 team have made club history by winning 11 games in a row? Which former Australian international was a Celtic coach until recently?
Pass.
Who were the last team to drop out of League 2 into the Lowland League?
Pass.
Scotland under 21 star Tommy Conway scored for which team last night?
Oh, it's very cool, mate.
No, passing.
Pass, aye.
No, listen, I think they're tough, don't you worry. Let's bring Simon back. Simon, can you hear us?
Yes.
John, it's worth bearing in mind Simon won 2-1 last week. That's all I'm saying. Right, you've got 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes.
Look at that one last gulp of coffee to try and...
Caffeine hit.
Right, you ready? Your 30 seconds starts now. Name any of the scorers in Rangers' friendly against Copenhagen last night.
Dessers.
Which League 2 side have made club history by winning 11 games in a row?
Pass.
Which former Australian international was a coach at Celtic until recently?
Harry Kuehl.
Who were the last team to drop out of League 2 into the Lowland League?
Breaking.
Scotland under 21 star Tommy Conway scored for what team last night?
Bristol City.
Well, who was the first English club that Robert Snodgrass played for?
Leeds.
They were easy.
What do you think, John?
Oh, I don't know about that one. I can't
even do that. Dessers and Matondo, you both got it.
Hey.
Which League 2 side have made club history by winning 11 games in a row? It's Stenhouse Muir. John got it. John.
Wow.
Was that a guess, John?
Oh, it was a complete guess.
Lucky so-and-so, John.
A football manager team. 100%.
John doesn't even know that Stenhouse Muir are in League 2.
Settle down, John.
There's brilliant, John.
John had a 1 in 42 chance of getting that right. He's nailed it. Well done,
well
John.
Done.
You're 2-1 in front. But, John, how much are you kicking yourself at this next one?
I am raging.
Which former Australian international was a coach at Celtic till recently?
Did he say
Harry Kuehl, John? Harry Kuehl.
Who did he say?
He panicked.
You know, I thought about it, see, because you were talking about Scott McDonald.
John.
I like John, I must admit, yeah. I have to say. Right, anyway, so where are we? We
left.
Who were the last team to drop out of League 2 into the Lowland League?
Cardin Bay.
Albion Rovers.
Oh.
Were more recent. So there we go. Still level on 2-2.
Bad game.
Scotland under 21 star Tommy Conway scored for what team last night? Bristol City. Simon goes in front. And I think John knows because he ran out of questions. Simon, even, you know that way when one team's attacking and then you get caught out in the other end. Robert Snodgrass played for Leeds. A 4-2 win for Simon Donnelly. I'm devastated for you, John. I wanted you to win so much. Unlucky.
I'm devastated as well. Sorry.
It happens, John.
Good man, John. Give it a go time. You'll beat Marvin.
Thank you very much, guys. I'll definitely phone up again.
Thank you, John.
Cheers, John. Take care, mate.
I like John. I wanted him.
Yeah, so did
John.
I
was just very excitable. Dennis Muir. What did he say? It was his football manager team.
Yeah, just.
I'm interested that he didn't get that far, Gordon. Did he give you any answers, or was he just passing the other ones? Because how's he not got to
quit? I know. See, when he got Stenhouse Muir, because he didn't. It didn't immediately sound like it was a guess. So I thought, wow, this guy's he's a player.
He's a real deal.
He knows his stuff. And then when he
just randomly picked it.
See, I go through an emotional roller coaster because then when he passed on Harry Kewell, I'm like, no, this is not good. I didn't expect any of you to get Albion Rovers. And then Tommy Conway is quite topical, so.
Who did he say about falling out of the league? Did he even give you?
No, he just passed everything.
That's on if he's passing.
But no, but this,
he not getting because
I know how, he only got to. He never got to Snodgrass.
I've no idea. I can't really remember.
Pass.
Do you know what's happened?
Pass.
He's got himself two goals in front, and he's just tried to keep the ball.
He's in the corner.
It's backfired.
First half pinning the Simon away.
How annoying is that?
Oh man!
84 minutes on the clock. Somebody's in the corner.
Oh,
that
man.
Does my head in running because by the way it's always annoyed me, but now you've got about 10 minutes added thanks to VAR.
I know.
I'll be honest, can I confess something?
Are you encouraging
here?
Your team to do
nah,
that?
Nah, but I used to do it in training at Livy. I swear to God,
as
if
a
you
coach?
Not like, no, when I was playing, right. 30 seconds to go, I used to just run to the corner
in the seven asides.
Lad used to go mental, man.
That's disgraceful.
I know, it's horrendous for me.
Tell you what, that's a good game solid management. Win. 4-2, you can't describe that as ugly. That's a good
better performance.
Solid.
It was better.
Good
yeah,
friendly.
Because I don't think you let yourself down. I think Albion Rovers is those ones can be quite hard to recall.
Breaking was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago.
And they're also in the Highland League.
Oh, remember that.
But Mark Wilson did not take them down.
No, he did not.
And you were his assistant.
Nothing
so you
to do with that either.
Did you not know that?
Yeah, he started.
You looked surprised.
I didn't know that
one.
Did you not?
No.
So because that was cause of real genuine drama here.
Daz wasn't happy.
Because Mark had it was staring him in the Gordon DL was literally saying, "Pick me, take me as your number two," and he took Sid and left Gordon in the
what does that say?
Well,
you know your stuff, Si. Well, that's what it says.
Evidently, I didn't. It only lasted 42 days.
Blame the manager.
Yeah, he was only in for 42 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 42 days, mate.
It's a short stint, that. How long was Mark there?
Coaching's not easy. It's a difficult
game. Yeah, it's tough. So Mark's been sacked and so's Gordon. But yet on a Saturday, they're always laughing at me.
That's because they know that you're about to follow.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Because I wouldn't play that. I wouldn't get too confident because they'll play that laugh back.
Yeah, they will.
When the day comes.
Great, guys.
But anyway, there we go. 01419511025. We'll actually hear from Tommy Conway in the not too distant future because plays for Scotland under 21s,
aye.
He's in the championship. Mm-hmm. He's scoring a lot of important goals.
Yep, nicked in front of the keeper.
There's
the goal.
There's a big summer coming up, in case you hadn't noticed. But in the meantime, let's bring in Connor, who's in Falkirk, but he's a Celtic fan. How are you, Connor?
Hi, guys. How you doing? Cheers for putting me through.
It's our pleasure. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say to Big Marv there, you're doing a great job at Queen of the South, mate. Good luck against St Mirren as well at the weekend.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
That made me feel uneasy because I honestly thought it was going to be sarcastic. It was going to be some sort of joke.
Me and Connor are buddies.
Oh, my word.
He's doing a great job at Queen of the South. He was unlucky against Alloa on Saturday. So
he's doing fine, I think. We'll leave it there. what were you thinking about your own team, Connor?
Well, a lot of Celtic fans, including one of your pundits, he's not on the night, but and I've got great respect for Hugh Keevans. I think he's honestly...
I had a feeling it would be him.
He's a Mount Rushmore of punditry, in my opinion. but the way he's been going on about Celtic's transfers this January, I think it's a bit over the top. I mean, our closest competitors right now are Rangers. And we've played them twice this season, and we've beat them twice. They've brought in one player. Only one. So there's no a huge difference compared to the teams that the twice that we've beat them this season. Do you know what I mean? So I think the main focus needs to be on the summer transfer window. We've no European football for the rest of the season. I think the main thing is this summer, the transfer window this summer, instead of the one in January. Do you know what I mean? Because we get players in the summer, we've got hopefully European football. I think they will win the league anyway. So European football and Champions League next season. Everybody's just going to air the talk with there's like hysterics about Celtic's transfers in this winter window.
Is it not more about the specifics of it though, Connor? To those who do feel that way, and I'm not saying they're right, but is it not about the specifics of If the question is, are Celtic ahead of Rangers, then, well, of course that's yes. But if you delve a bit deeper, I think some people are asking, is the squad where Brendan Rodgers wants it to be? Has this squad got the quality that Brendan Rodgers wants? That feels like a different question to are Celtic doing enough to be ahead of Rangers, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, Brendan Rodgers, let's be honest, this isn't the Brendan Rodgers squad. I think most of the summer signings that came in when Brendan Rodgers first came back, I think a lot of them were already in place for the Ange Postecoglou era. I think they were already in place to come in. I think Brendan Rodgers, he's got this winter window, but everybody knows trying to get signings in the winter window is absolutely awful. Do you know what I mean? It's really difficult. Whereas in the summer, it's Brendan Rodgers' summer. That's when he can actually move forward and bring in the players, and we'll start to see the team that Brendan Rodgers wants instead of the ones that came for the Postecoglou era. Do you know what I mean? I think the rest of the season is just mainly about staying in front of Rangers, which right now we are, because I mean they've brought in one player, so there's one player difference since we beat them twice. Do you know what I mean? So there's no big rush in the January transfer window. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to rush about.
Again, to put it to you, get that, if that's, again, it's kind of like the Shanklin discussion we had, if that's your criteria, fine. But it just feels like Brendan Rodgers wants more quality, because he's said it publicly a number of times. You've just mentioned eight wingers there, yeah, because the new one's been signed. It feels like, you know, Connor can say, and he might be right, that the summer signings had less to do with Brendan Rodgers, although Brendan Rodgers would refute that. But this is still Celtic. It's all one big thing, and I feel like fans are just looking for a bit more of a successful transfer strategy at the moment.
I think fans will always want fresh faces in, regardless. I think that's just the way of it. But
desire's intensified though when the previous window hasn't been good, and I know that it's a difficult window, but it's not impossible.
I can take what Connor's saying though. I think it's, again, it is a sensible approach. I think that without harping on about the past, two seasons ago when they bring Maeda, Hatate, O'Reilly in, it's a big impact. That doesn't happen very often. I suggest that happened because of circumstance. Postecoglou knew, with the exception maybe of O'Reilly, he knew what the other two he was getting, because he'd been in that field, he'd been over in Japan. I think for that to happen, every winter transfer window is maybe asking too much. I think he is right in saying, you know, the last game there against Rangers, I thought Celtic were the best team, December 30th. I thought they were actually hitting a bit of form after the two defeats. They went four back-to-back. Bernardo came to the fore as another player. Hatate came on at St Mirren, who arguably is Celtic's best midfielder when he's, you know, fully fit. He's going to come back from this Asian Cup as well, hopefully fit. They're still in a strong position, so I get what Connor's saying.
Surely the league is close enough, right? And Connor thinks Celtic are going to win the league. I've got no desire to argue against that, but surely it's close enough that Celtic would want to make sure of it then in this window. You know, it's not like anything can be rested upon.
No, I'm not saying that, and I don't think Connor's saying that either. I think he's just not getting too carried away with the fact that there's only been one signing so far.
Sure.
As I say, there's a fortnight to go. But I can see where he's coming from, because at the moment, you know, I would say Celtic are still by far the strongest squad in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think, you know, from Celtic's point of view, when they talk about bringing in players, you have to bring in players that are going to improve their starting 11. They don't need any more kind of squad fillers, so to speak, as Simon's listed there.
You could argue they need competition at left-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. But, you know, listen, if Greg Taylor can get back to what he was doing under Ange, and then, you know, under a, you know, brief spell kind of so with
his
Brendan,
last two games were really
he
good.
Started to improve again. He was fantastic last season, you know, if you'd have said
but behind,
you know,
him though,
I know, but if you'd have said last season, right, I need to bring in another left back, that, and again, that's probably, you know, someone who's going to come in and not play, and to do that in January is difficult, Gordon, because one, you're paying inflated prices, and two, someone who's maybe started the season playing is not going to come in January and think, do you know what, I'm not going to dislodge him. So in the summer it's different, because you've got the whole of pre-season, you know, to work your way into that left back position, so it's tough. It is a tough window, as Connor said, but you know, I don't think, you know, Celtic needs to go and make a ridiculous number of signings. If you can bring somebody in, one, you can afford them, and two, if they're going to improve your starting 11, I think they'll do it. But they don't need to bring in players for the sake of bringing in players, because, as Simon said, they're in a good position. They're top of the league at this moment in time. And when their players return back from, you know, the Asia Cup and boys return back fit, they got an extremely strong starting 11. And if you can't improve that in this window, I don't think there's any point in spending money for the sake of it.
Cheers, Connor. You can get involved on 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night where you send a question in to us and we watch, you and I watch as the pundits struggle to come up with the answers. And that tends to be what happens most nights, but particularly a Wednesday when these two are involved. So let's get tonight's question ready.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Okay, the Crazy Pony has sent this one in for you, and it is, can you name the 11 top Champions League goal scorers who've played in Scotland? So can you name, did you think you were just getting to go Messi, Ronaldo there? I saw your eyes light up.
Because I think we've had it before.
Can you name the 11 top Champions League goal scorers who've played in Scotland? Now I always say Simon Donnelly, I reckon of all of our pundits you watch the most football. It's just, it's a theory I've got. And I, some of these names, be your era as well as a player maybe. Wow. Can you name the last the 11 top Champions League goal scorers who've played in Scotland?
De Boer.
Which one?
Either.
Ronald.
No. Ronald. Another one.
Is it? It's Frank Gilmore.
Yeah, he does actually.
Wow. Frank. I meant Frank.
Yep, well done. Okay. Any others?
Van Hooijdonk.
Nope. Ooh. What I would say is you don't need loads of Champions League goals to be on this list. Okay, so Frank de Boer's got 7.
Let's go with Larsen.
Yes, he has also got 7. Okay.
Did Defoe play Champions League? Who? Defoe?
Nah, he's not on the list.
No.
Not quite enough. Nope. And again, you might not even need to be a prolific. Well, Frank de Boer's a good example. You don't even need to necessarily be a goal scorer. Because if you've played in the Champions League loads of times,
yeah,
and picked up the odd goal here or there,
I've got someone in my mind who's a defender. I can't remember his name.
Oh, that's
Rangers.
Good.
What era?
No, you're wasting your time.
Wasting our time.
Mm-hmm. No Rangers defenders on there.
Champions League goal scorers.
Mm-hmm. Who are like the big name players that have come here? So you don't even need to worry about what they did when they were here, really. Who are the big reputations, big names that have played in the Champions League a lot and have played here at some point?
Newman.
No, I mean, you're kind of, it's not the most obvious example where I tried to lead you down the garden path. It's not the worst, but it's just not the best.
Simon used all his powers to beat the pundit.
Exactly.
I've got nothing for you.
Think about guys that had the type of career that they were bound to have gone deep in the Champions League numerous times. No! But you're at least getting closer, because that's not a terrible shout.
Marv, join in whenever you,
you know what?
Feel like.
There's a lot of pressure. You see, when you give us a question and then you pause for this long, I like it like when you ask the question, a couple of guesses each, and then you move on to something else.
I would move on and if then you could give me just one
nine,
more.
We've got 9 to get.
If we give you just one more?
If you can get one more correct, we'll take a call.
This feels like when I was young and I was reading at home and I was doing a test. Mum was like, just get that word right and you can stop reading. Sound it, Alec. It's not like you.
Honestly. Oh, dear. Right, we'll need to get back to it. We'll need to get... Think of some of
the... Why
those.
Are you looking
Toriandro Flo, was he Champions League?
Yes. Well done.
Thanks.
Marvin Bartley.
He was ignoring me then.
No, I thought you said Defoe again.
I was distracted. I still think there are more obvious examples, but he will do. Toriandro Flo has 8 Champions League goals. Well, Jason is a Rangers fan from Balloch. How's it going, Jason?
Hi Gordon, how's it going? And hi Simon, and hi Marvin.
Hi Jason.
Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure, what are you thinking?
So a couple of things I suppose. I was really want to kind of chip in with regards to the kind of Lauren Shankland. I don't know if it's a dilemma, but it's certainly a question. So I think I would probably take a kind of logical approach. And I think he would definitely score loads of goals for both Rangers and Celtic. I think it's weighing up the value of that, obviously, with regards to his kind of actual transfer fee, because obviously I think Rangers are, they don't have as much money as Celtic, for instance, so it's the logic of whether he would obviously he's going to transfer fee, and balancing that out with regards to the obviously winning the league and stuff to that effect. So I would kind of take a chronological point, but I suppose in the sense, I think Rangers, they could probably get better value for money, maybe in another market, than they would do with regards to the kind of Scottish League. Although he is a very much a proven striker in the Scottish League, so it's kind of that logical thing, which I think obviously brings about the whole debate, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if anyone's looking for context, we actually, for the first time this window, we weren't having a Lauren Shanklin debate or discussion, and a caller phoned in and was very, very critical. Some harsh criticisms in there, and that's kind of what Jason's on the back of. I take the point. Hearts won't sell them cheap, so you might, that would be the key word, you might get the value elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, particularly for Rangers, there's a comparison staring you right in the face, and it's, let's call it, similar money to Cyril Dessers. So therefore, are you getting better value elsewhere?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think you do. And forget, take Dessers away from it, because I hate comparing players like that. I think when you're looking at someone who score goals domestically in the league that you're currently playing in, you know, when you start bringing in players from different leagues and from abroad, etc., you talk about settling in and getting used to the league and sometimes leaving their families to come across, all these other things. Lawrence Shankland ticks so many of those boxes straight away, that he's scoring goals here now. Obviously, he's a Scotland international. He's born and bred in Scotland. So, you know, straight away, if someone's going to fit in to a league and settle instantly, it's going to be him. And now he's got to back him up, the goals that he scored. Now, without being disrespectful to Hearts, the amount of goals that he scored, he's carried that front line for me this season, you know, with his goals and his assists. He's been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, Jason said about, you know, value for money. I don't think you do get better value for money. And I think he goes into either of those teams and he would not let, you know, Rangers or Celtic down if either of them wanted him. Because I think he's going to cost, around £3 million? You know, at the top, you 2 million people.
I think it's really difficult because I still feel like a lot of Hearts fans listening will say, "Would you listen to that, Hibby, Marvin Bartley? That's too cheap.
Try to sell him.
Too cheap? Do you think?
I think that's what they'll think for sure.
Well, right. Listen, and it's one of them.
I keep going back to him. Broken record with it. £6 million if you qualify for Europe. Finish third. Can Hearts finish third without him? Probably not. You know, how'd you weigh it up?
Yeah, I wouldn't sell him this window if I was Hearts. Yeah. I think it doesn't make any sense to do it this window, but summer.
But Jason, Rangers definitely need a number nine this window, do they? Or
they absolutely do, yeah. I was at the game last night and I was quite surprised that Dessers got man of the match. He barely played for about half an hour. He did take a goal, right enough. But yeah, they're in dire need of some firepower up front.
Give us the eyewitness account then, give us the eyewitness account on Fabio Silva. Is it? I've seen a lot of tweets saying good. he looks good, but he doesn't look like that kind of out-and-out striker.
He's definitely not. He's a guy that'll do well in Scottish football, and that's no mean me being demeaning to Scottish football, but he'll do great up here. He'll definitely be... He looks like somebody that can hold the ball up well. He was coming deep a lot. He had some really nice kind of opening up the play and stuff, playing out to the wings and then supporting. Seems to have a lot of energy. He's quite physical. He's quite strong. He actually is really quite fast as well. So there's definitely a lot of hope for him. But I don't know. It just depends how Rangers are going to play. Most teams these days, certainly in the Scottish Premiership, even in English Premiership, it's really fashionable to play with one striker. Than it was way back in the day with a kind of two-pronged strike force. So I guess it'll just depend how he wants to play.
That's a really good point. And if you've somehow done this deliberately, hats off to you, Jason. But I reckon you've stumbled on this accidentally. I'm going to play a clip from Derek McInnes because I think it's relevant to this conversation as well. Derek McInnes was talking today. I mean, everybody's after a striker, aren't they, really? But he says it's just now nowhere near as easy to find a goal scorer as it used to be, you know, regardless of the level. He says that the systems teams play, a bit like Jason, and the instructions that forwards are given means that it's, you know, it's a kind of dying breed.
When we growing up, my generation, everybody was 4-4-2. It was always twin strikers. There was an abundance of strikers. Everybody wanted to play centre forward. In the last 15, 20 years, everybody's turned to 4-3-3, And a striker needs to be able to do so many things. And a lot of the time, one of the last things that they actually need to do is score goals. They actually need to run, they need to stretch, they need to press, they need to do this and that. And we're now operating a lot of times where, now we play with a front two, not most of the time, but most academies over the last 15, 20 years have been playing 4-3-3 or playing with one striker. So right away, you're getting half the players playing at centre-forward. And the role of the centre-forward has changed. So there is a dearth of number nines coming through. There's a dearth of number nines available. And number nines now aren't always good goal scorers, which is mad, you know. So, but there's a bigger answer to that question. But an answer simply, there's no.
Jason, you know your stuff.
Probably go that far.
You and Derek McInnes have got it. Have we got a shortage at all levels?
Yeah, I think that it's just, I think there's definitely something in that with regards to how young players have been brought through academies. I think there's no doubt about it. There's a real trend on formations. Certainly there have been over the, maybe the last kind of 5 or 6 years. And it is playing one man up front, but you're not expecting that one man to stand up front, a la McCoist, a la any other player that's a kind of penalty box striker. I can only think of McCoist at the minute. They're asked to do a lot more. It's not just in the box. They've not got a somebody as foil to play off, whether it be a Hately, a kind of bigger guy and a shorter guy, which was predominantly how Scottish football was based. There was always a big guy and a wee guy. That's how it was. All the Dundee United teams, the Aberdeen teams, Rangers, Celtic, everybody had a big guy and a wee guy. But I think over the last 5-6 years, there's been a trend and a shift towards just that one striker, and they're expecting him not just to be the man to get the goals, they're expecting him to hold up play, build up play, wait for the midfield to come up so that he can then lay it off. They're expecting a lot more for a striker. It's not just a penalty box guy, they're looking for a lot more these days.
I think that's fair, Marvin. You're involved in the game and in recruitment. Like I say, it actually doesn't matter the level because it's all relative. Do you think, is it harder than ever to find that?
I think it is, yeah. I'll be agreement in with Jason on that. That it is harder, you know, to find the striker. And like you said, just because everyone's looking for, you know, strikers to do so much more, and then kind of the scoring on top, which the lower you go down the levels, the more limited kind of the players are about being disrespectful. So it does become a lot more difficult. You know, Dale saying him playing two strikers and, you know, St Mirren are kind of the same. Teams are going back to that now, the 3-5-2, having two centre-forwards. But yeah, it is kind of a dying breed, and it's tough, you know, unless you've got top money to go out there and get a centre forward. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of, you know, tick a few boxes and then leave a few, basically.
But then even at that, you know, Derek McInnes' take on it is, you know, there are half the number that there used to be because teams only operate with...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fair point that Derek's made there. I don't think it's for the better of the game, to be honest. I mean, folk will maybe say I'm old-fashioned, but I always like the two strikers. Getting, you know, extra bodies in the box always is an advantage to getting more goals. It's plain and simple.
You're old-fashioned.
I'm old-fashioned, but, you know, there's a lot to argue for that. But in recent times, it has been a focal point. And as Derek quite rightly said there as well, there's different roles within a centre-forward's remit now, which back in the day was put the ball in the net.
You're seeing all teams, like I say, because it doesn't matter the level, they're trying for that focal point. So someone who we know well in the league, Curtis Main, has come back. He's come back to Dundee, did really well at St Mirren last season. Yeah. And not everyone loves the style, and I saw some kind of criticisms of it on Twitter today, but I think by last season's standards at St Mirren, he was an absolute handful, wasn't he? He's been at Motherwell and Aberdeen before. So, you know, that's Dundee trying to fit that piece of their jigsaw. Hearing from Derek McInnes from a Kilmarnock perspective, I had cold sweats this morning when I read that Sheffield Wednesday want to steal Mika Bireth and take him on loan and cancel his Motherwell loan or whatever. What a way to ruin the early stages of 2024 that would be. I mean, Andy Halliday is just, he's going to have to go and play up front if that happens.
He's played everywhere else, hasn't he, Andy?
Well, that's true. That could be the next step. But yeah, the number nine, there we go. It's going to be an interesting feature of this window, whether it's Lauren Shankland or someone else. Thank you very much to Jason, who made some great points in there. Thanks, Jason. On this teaser then, can you name, and good response to this on Twitter, a much better response on Twitter than in
that
here,
does.
The top 11 Champions League goal scorers who have played in Scotland: Frank de Boer, Henrik Larsson, Tore Andre Flo.
Gattuso.
Nope.
Ramsey.
Yes, Aaron Ramsey. the night that he signed, Marvin Bartley was on. He's a big Arsenal fan. He said Aaron Ramsey would take Scottish football by storm.
Did you?
Sorry, yeah, Rangers fans. Well. Sorry. Okay, any more?
Alberts.
Nope.
You're terrible.
I know.
I think of some of those marquee, we always hear it, those marquee
signings.
Signings that Celtic in particular made, either kind of short term or loans or, you know.
When did the Champions League start?
1992.
Oh.
Robbie Keane.
93. Not Robbie.
Roy.
Roy Keane.
You're miles off it, sorry.
Roy Keane's got.
So I get the Keane wrong and the De Boer wrong.
He's top. He's got 14, got 14, right. 14 Champions League goals.
Wow. Keane is top.
Remember his goals in, was it in Turin?
Yep.
On the way to the final, 99.
Yep. Ian Wright?
Nope. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers. And we're going to hear, speaking of strikers, we'll hear from someone who is a striker and reckons he can force his way into the Euros squad. We'll hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're about to speak to George on the line, but very quickly, let's revisit that teaser. The top 11 Champions League goal scorers who have played in Scotland: Frank de Boer, Henrik Larsson, Tor-Andre Flo, Aaron Ramsey, Roy Keane. Any more during the break?
Freddie Ljungberg.
Big Arsenal fan. Marvin obviously couldn't get that one. Simon had to do it. Any more?
Simon got both. I'm going, sir.
Moussa Dembele.
Yes, well done. He's got 7. He would have got some of them at Celtic, wouldn't he? So he's on the list.
Couple against Man City.
Any more?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
4 to get. There's a former teammate of yours in here. Simon Donnelly. Quite a significant teammate of yours, I would say, for one reason or another.
Ratback?
Yes.
Is it Harold?
He's got 11 Champions League goals.
Brilliant.
Harold Ratback.
Rosenborg guy. He must have scored a few for Rosenborg.
Yeah,
in fact, striker. He scored all of them for Rosenborg.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. Harold Ratback. Well done. Okay. Ratback. We'll get the rest. George is an Airdrie fan on the line. How's it going, George?
I love to talk to you. What I want to talk to you in the panel about tonight is that, first of all, I'd like to say how good Rhys McCabe's doing with the team. Absolutely fantastic this year. Also, I know it's a wee bit, maybe the second order a wee bit, but saying this, Dunfermline had 8 or 9 players injured for last weekend, and then all of a sudden on Saturday morning, their game is off. It hadn't been raining in Dunfermline for about a week. And all of a sudden they've got a waterlogged pitch. Now, if you add two and two together, you know, you have to ask, you know, what's going on here, you know?
I love a good conspiracy, George, as much as the next guy, and this show is the breeding ground for that sort of thing. So George is not happy. He thinks that game should have been on. Somebody's up to tricks.
What was it?
East End Park pitch. Yeah. I think the official story is it was a burst pipe, wasn't it, or something, and an undersoil heating. Our colleague Stephen Mill, who's a big Dunfermline fan, will be furious at the suggestion, but I've seen it thrown out there, as we do in Scottish football.
I believe them.
You take everybody at face value, do you?
I believe them. I mean, surely they're going to have to send like the kind of repair stuff to the SPFL, whoever it is that
a suspected failure of the undersoil heating system along the South Stand touchline. Water has pooled, causing significant flooding on the pitch. You're not buying it, George?
I'm definitely not buying it. Definitely not buying it. I believe somebody at East End Park left the tap on over the Friday night, because, like I said, Dunfermline have got about 8 or 9 players out injured. At the moment, we're flying, absolutely flying. And we fancy a chance to get up there on Saturday to get 3 points. And we're very disappointed the game is off. Now, we've got St Johnstone on Saturday in the Cup, and we're hoping to give them a good game and progress a wee bit. So, you know, like I said before, you know, I really, really appreciate the kind of football that we should got us playing this year, because they're absolutely fantastic the way they're playing the game.
It's on paper, isn't it? We do it all the time. You look at who's struggling a bit in the Premiership, and are they playing anyone from the lower leagues who's quite close? And it would go, because that technically goes as a shock. So
I've heard they play good football. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen them a couple of times. Yeah.
So people will be looking at that one. Your old club, Livy play Wraith.
Wraith, yeah.
I mean, the St Mirren fans will surely be quaking in their boots at the Palmerston Pep rocking up the road.
They should be.
So it could be an interesting weekend on that front. Those yeah. would be the
I think yeah, the Airdrie one and the
listen, yeah, I think George on the line there, I think I looked at that as well, because I've heard Airdrie play nice football, and mm-hmm. when they click, you know, they really do. And it'll be interesting. I know St John's have picked up some points of late, but on the Astro through Airdrie, it might be a little upset.
Stephen Mills has been sending pictures of holes in the pitch where the pipes burst. He's defend this, defending it till he's dying breath. There we go. Thanks very much, though, George. It was good to speak to you. And if you caused the shock at the weekend, you'll need to give us a call back, surely.
Yeah, well, definitely will.
Good man. Thank you very much, George. An Airdrie fan there from Hamilton. Any more in the teaser? Matthew Breckenridge has given it a right good go. He's thrown, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not got them all right, but he's throwing some good names out there.
What are we left? Three?
More than that, I think. Four, is it?
No, we've got eight. We're not.
Yeah, I got three. Okay. Three to go.
Three to get. And
when do the clues start?
What? what teams? Right.
How many from either side? If I tell you this team, exactly. You've fallen into the trap.
Never.
Who says it was either side? What about someone with a ludicrously big European pedigree who rocked up in the city of discovery?
Caniggia?
No.
Wow.
But you're close.
Oh, Ravanelli.
Fabrizio Ravanelli. Signed by Jim Duffy, was he not? I think you're
was
right, Jim. See,
but they both at the same time.
Scottish football's
he told me that story. Canadia.
Scottish football's always been a madhouse, yes. Even before you arrived. So,
yes.
There we go. Right, let's hear from someone who came up on Beat the Pundit as if by accident. Bristol City striker Tommy Conway, who he scored, in case you hadn't heard on Beat the Pundit, yes. against West Ham last night to send Bristol City through. He is a Scotland under 21 international. Mm-hmm. He's said that he's playing in the Championship, like many of our strikers are. He's scoring goals. He's knocking big teams out of the cup. Is he worth the conversation? He thinks he can fire his way into the Euro squad.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Obviously, there's competition in those in my position, but I don't see why I can't be challenging those boys who have been called up before. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one. But like I said, I can only get there if I'm performing well for my club. So. That's my main focus for at the minute.
What do you think?
Why not?
I love his confidence.
Why not? It's one of the, we just spoke about number nines there on mm-hmm. strikers there, didn't we? We're not blessed with, you know, there's not been a lot came through in the last number of years. The guys that have got the shirt just now are doing well for mm-hmm. us. You know, Dykes, Adams. But why not? And as Marv says, I love his optimism there. You know, going... He's recognised that he has to do it week in, week out at his club team. So why not? Why not aim for that?
It's easiest to compare strikers who are in the same division.
Yeah.
He has eight goals in the playing in the Championship, and some of them will be cut. But he's got mm-hmm. eight goals this season. Shea Adams has got eight goals this season, who mm-hmm. also plays in the Championship. Lyndon Dykes has got five. Now, obviously, they guys will be there, and they deserve to be there, and they've done a great job for Scotland. So it's not always a like-for-like comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you were starting on a clean slate based on who's doing what at domestic level, he'd be in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's before we throw in the guy that we keep talking about, Lauren Shankland.
Yeah, no, he would be in the conversation. You know, and the few times I've seen him play, obviously with their games being on the BBC, he's done it extremely well. You know, again, last night does really well. You said he's got eight goals this season. And you compare it to Che Adams, who's got eight at Southampton, and obviously Dykes, he's got five. Like you said, those two boys are ahead of him at this moment in time, and he'll understand that. But if he keeps scoring goals, you know, you can't be ignored. It's that simple. You won't be ignored. And yes, you've got Shankland up here, but also Nisbet down the road as well. I imagine Steve Clarke will go with four strikers, but then you've got Brown in the Jake Premier League. Yeah.
Yeah. He's... I suppose the other thing to consider, Simon, it is less likely that someone comes out the blue.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't been there before. He's maybe in a rung below that because he is a Scotland under 21 international.
Yeah, so he's not in the setup.
It's in the system or whatever, you know, if that's supposed to be a thing, you know, supposed to be that trajectory there, then does that give him a slightly more,
I don't know if playing for the 21s gives him a slight advantage. I think he'll be on Steve Clark's radar like a lot of players across the board. But the thing that will bring him more to attention is continuing scoring goals. And I think, you know, it might be a long shot for the kid, but I like his optimism. He's obviously got that in his focus, mm-hmm. and he realises he has to do it week in, week out. So,
good, you know, good on him. Yeah, he's only 21, mm-hmm. so if it's not this Euros, once we qualify for the next World Cup and so on, he might be in there. So, right, three more in this teaser?
Three more.
Is it still?
Is it? Yeah.
De Boer, Larson, Flo, Ramsey, Roy Keane, Ljungberg, Dembele, Brattback, Ravanelli.
We got to nine before I realised it was out with Rangers and Celtic.
I don't even understand.
Obviously most of them will be. Right, the two that you've got.
The two left,
a former Rangers striker and a former Celtic midfielder. Let's start former Rangers striker. We talk about out and out number nines earlier. He'd go into that category for sure.
Number nine.
Actually had quite a significant Champions League season with one of his clubs just before coming to Rangers, I think.
Haley.
Or just after
Haley.
What?
After that. So, by the way, similar hair.
Nobody could do similar hair to Haley.
Croatian.
Oh, the big guy. Yeah.
The big guy. Yeah, the big guy. Totally.
Oh, what's his name again?
Is it going with S?
No.
Oh man, I can picture him. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Quickly.
Oh, I hate this music started. I've got 47 seconds.
Dado Perso.
Perso.
And the former Celtic midfielder, he came up from Chelsea. You remember it? Sort of, that would be kind of Gordon Strachan-ish era round about then. Forgive me if I'm out, but I think it's
Chelsea.
Close. Yep.
Oh. Yarisic.
Yes, Yuri Yarisic.
Pulled that one out.
He was decent, by the way.
He wasn't bad.
Thanks for that insight. Yeah. Good. Thank you to Marvin and to Simon. We are back tomorrow, and it's the return of the quiz with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Always good entertainment to be had. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because Callum Gallagher is up next.